the beginning of him starting to predict his own death, to say the time will come. And he says, from that time on, Jesus began to explain to his disciples he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things at the hands of the elders, chief priests, and teachers of the law, and that he must be killed and on the third day be raised to life. Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. Never, Lord, he said, this shall never happen to you. Jesus turned to Peter and said, get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me. You do not have in mind the things of God, but the things of men. Then Jesus says to his disciples, if anyone come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for me will find it. What good will it be for a man if he gain the whole world, yet forfeit his soul? Or what can a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man is going to come in his Father's glory with his angels, and then he will reward each person according to what he has done. I tell you the truth, some who are standing here will not taste death before they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom. Let us pray. Dear Lord, open up our hearts that we may hear these words of Jesus as he speaks. He is sharing with us the kingdom's gold and how we are a part of the eternal kingdom. Lord, let us know what it means, this world we live in, and the world that is to come. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As we gather here today, we come in the midst of a nation that is being tried and tested on every front, in every way. These are not easy times to be alive. Young people, you have been born into a world that is very difficult to understand. It is no longer a black and white world. It is a world with shades of gray, with elements of truth, where things that used to be up are down, and now things that are down are up. It is a world that confuses, a world that tries and tests. I'll share with you what I wrote. I was in the office at the church over at Wan Chi's. It was August 27th, and it was 2011. The storm Irene was coming up the coast of North Carolina. Here I am serving on the Outer Banks. I asked Leona and the family to go inland to go stay with family, and they took off after much discussion. And I was going to man the fort, hold down the church, and stay there during Irene as it came up the coast. Irene was a bigger storm, but it slowed down to a Category 1, but it stalled out over the Outer Banks and really pounded us for a whole day and caused a lot of damage. I will never forget that day and that night when the storm was over the top of us, blowing so strong. And I was in the office when I wrote this because there was no electricity, nothing else to do. So I grabbed the old guitar and I strummed out a few chords and these words came to me. And it says, it started out as a whisper, then became a roar. That's how storms start. They start out as a whisper. You hear the wind a little bit and then it becomes a roar. It feels your whole life up, every place has noise. It started out as a whisper, then became a roar. It swept across the land in a day. Irene just took over everything. The people, they all listened. The people, they all prayed because the storms, they pass away. The church bells, they are ringing. The choirs, they are singing. The children, they are swaying to the sound. The people, they are praying. The preachers, they are saying, listen, people, time to look around. So when your heart is troubled, when your soul is hurting, know I am the answer to your hurts. When it is the darkness, when it shines the brightest, know I am the living word. I told you I would be with you till the end of time. So why do you worry? What is your hurry? Why do you doubt my word? Those are the words I wrote as I was strumming the guitar that day in the office with the storm unfolding and as I watched the events of this past week in particular. Story after story, so many stories. How do they relate to this scripture today from our Lord? Well, first, let's look at the things of men. The things of men are things that are, they're temporal, they're temporary. Things of men that pass away. You can see it now in the news. All the stuff in front of their houses, their bedding, their clothing, their furniture. We did that in Wanchese. Every house outside of it, there was stuff stacked out where we had to throw out, because once that water touches it, you can't keep it anymore. It's nasty water. It's infected water. Has everything in it, and so you have to toss it. The things of men are temporary. In fact, I advise everyone who hears this to look at your life and realize some things are temporary and some things are eternal, and to know the difference between the two. For men, we have a temporary existence here. God, He formed us for a purpose, for His pleasure. And on earth, this is for a set time. Our lives are made up of these temporary, but our lives also have eternal. So in the scripture, what's taking place is when Jesus tells him, I've got to go to Jerusalem, I'm going to be killed, I'm going to be raised on the third day, Peter, being a man, and also understand Peter is the rock upon which the church is built, Peter, of all people, takes him aside and rebukes Jesus. Imagine that. And he says, never, Lord, this isn't going to happen. I won't allow it to happen. The reason Peter was so bold to say that, not only because he was a very prideful fisherman, that he considered himself the leader of the disciples, and he was. The reason I think Peter was so bold that day is that, did you know that Jesus and his disciples, he allowed them to carry two swords? They actually carry swords. Remember in the garden story where the guard's ear gets cut off? They carried swords. So Peter wasn't just speaking of his own strength. He was speaking of the strength of a weapon. In other words, the things of men are not only temporary, but they're also things of conflict. I mean, I can't wait till Leanna gets on that plane and gets out of South Korea this coming week. I pray to the Lord it's this coming week, because every time the phone buzzes at night, I have to look. I wake up and I look at it, and I looked at it last night, and there's a 6.3 earthquake in northern Korea where they tested a new hydrogen bomb. Now, anyone that serves in the military, you know that feeling when they travel and you worry about them and you watch the news and everything you hear, it makes you worry more. See, the world is built in conflict. It's just, it's fighting itself. It's fighting others. The elements are fighting us. It's as if the very world itself is pitted against us. And Peter here is saying to Jesus, this isn't going to happen. We're going to stop this from happening. Like somehow we can stop things from happening in this world. I could tell you right now, I could have gone out in Hurricane Irene and waved my hands all over, and that wind would not have stopped. I could have stomped my feet on that ground and that water would not have stopped. Those people in Texas could do all the things in the world, but Harvey was going where it was going, and it was not going to be stopped. God sent us these signs. He gave us just a darkness that swept across the land to show His majesty and His awesomeness, and we do not see it. All we see is a scientific fact. He sends us these other things to show how He perseveres, and how many stories of mercy and grace have we witnessed this past week, where the Cajun Navy, isn't that something? The Cajun Navy. They see a woman floating, and they go up and pick her up, and she has gone, and they resuscitated her. She was gone, and they brought her back, the Cajun Navy. Sisters and brothers, I'm not a political person, but it's a great thing to see a nation come together in the midst of trials and storms. See, the things of men are things of conflict. They're things of temporary nature. And if you have something in your life that's a conflict, it is not a thing of God. It's a thing of man. For God is a God of peace. We men, we fight. Even at the very beginning, the first sons, one killed the other. So Jesus is making clear that the things of men are not what we are about. We are about the things of God. Now, what are these things of God? How does Jesus explain that? He says, if anyone would come after me, He must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me, for whoever wants to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for me will find it. I know some of the most poignant videos of this past week have been the different ones rescued, and also the animals that have been rescued, the little cats and dogs, and they say now they're sending these animals to other states, and you can adopt a Harvey animal. So many were left behind as the people, they escaped the floodwaters. And to think about the lives and the families of how much they care and how together we are part. You can see this on the back of a vehicle. I can tell everybody, I can just tell everything about everybody from a car. I can tell there's a mom and a daddy, and there's two boys, and there's a girl, and there's a cat, and there's a dog, and there's a whole bunch of birds. You ever notice people do that to their cars? I can tell you what college they went to. I can just tell you so much. People want to say everything. Me, if you'll notice my truck, I've got a Carolina sticker on there. That tells you that. I've got a Western Hornet Eagles pass where I can park on the gravel, can't I, Keith? See, that tells you everything about me right there, that we can share our lives in such a way. See, Jesus is saying that the things of God are things that we hold and cherish the most. You watch some of those people and what they grabbed. And what would you take if you only could take a few things, just a book bag from your house? I remember years ago, I had a Sunday school teacher that asked that question. She said it in case of a fire. She said, if the house was on fire, what would you take? And I was a little kid, 1975, over in Magnolia, North Carolina. It was almost a bicentennial. I remember that in 76. And she asked that question one Sunday, what would you take? And I said, I would take my poems, because I had a lot of poems. I had a big book of, you know, poems that I wrote, like Over and Under, Up and Down, Which Way My Friend Is the Town, first poem I ever wrote. I was a little kid. And she looked at me and said, Jerome, you would take your poems? And I said, yes, ma'am. And she said, what about your sister? What about your family? And I said, of course I would ask them. I figured they would come on their own. I wouldn't have to take them. But her point was well made, and a point that actually I've come to understand even more. What are the things of God? The things of God are the ones that we grab first and most, the ones we love. Love is what binds us to God and what we are bound to God by. In other words, love is what we cling. And Jesus said, whoever wants to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for me will find it. And then he says this part that is so powerful. What good will it be for a man if he gained the whole world yet forfeit his soul? Sisters and brothers, Harvey hit every population, the poor, the rich. It hit every race, every part of that culture down near Houston on the Gulf Coast. See, what part of our life is worth our soul? Postmodern world has to answer this. Because I can tell you right now, we can fight wars till the kingdom comes and they will never solve the problem. We can find conflict until the sky turns dark and we will never find the solution. We can wonder and try to gain possessions more and more, but how much more possessions do we have to have? Sisters and brothers, life is what is made up of what you count the most important. And Irene, when it was coming through, I knew what was most important, my family, my faith, and my fellowship. I started to identify those parts of my life that were most important, and those are the parts that I cling to the most. It's easy to forget it when we have it every day and we grow accustomed to having it. But sisters and brothers, I can tell you, when you don't have it, you will not only miss it, but your heart will ache and you will mourn. There will come a day that you won't have the opportunity to tell that person you love them, because they will be gone to the Lord. But you can say it today. See, Jesus is saying, what good is it if you gain the whole world? And I've known people that think somehow it's all about their life and they want to have their day in the sun and they think they're alive for this purpose and this reason. But what I'm stressing is what the gospel stresses is that we are not built for this temporary place, this place of conflict. We are built for the eternal. Christ is making us eternal beings, and this things of God are the eternal. And we gain the world, the whole world. We're told in Scripture that when we live our life faithfully, God will not only return that faith to us, He will multiply it. Now, some have said, well, this is a formula, and I do not believe it is a formula. What I believe it is a lifestyle, a blessing. In other words, good things happen to good people. Doesn't mean bad things don't happen. There were a lot of people, and this morning down in Texas, they're having churches in just church services with no electricity in some places where there's only a few people. We had church service that Sunday after Irene. We had no electricity, and we got together, and we had church. It's a little village. Everybody came together. We were the place to come, the church, because it was high ground, and we were able to have worship. See, it's that moment of realizing that we can gain the whole world, yet the only part we need of this world is next to Jesus. See, Peter didn't understand. He took him aside instead of following him. Peter's sin was that he placed himself before the kingdom. He didn't realize that his place was to follow Christ and not rebuke Christ. And he says, "Never, Lord," which is what we say when we try to let our lives become the answer to the problems we have, because you can't beat it. The tax man cometh, you can't beat it. The storms roll, you can't win. The tide is rising, the water is coming, it is happening. But instead of running around like we're all lost and there's no hope, instead of running around saying there's no way we're going to get out of this and these bad things, they happen and all our life is just this struggle and we're never going to find a solution. And I go back to this poem I wrote. It says, it started out as a whisper and then it became a roar and it swept across the land in the day. And the people, they all listened and the people, they all prayed because they hope the storms, they pass away. But the church bells are ringing. And the choirs, they are singing. And the children, they're swaying to the sound. In other words, in the midst of all the storms of life, all God asked us to do is just hold the line. The people, they are praying. The preachers, they are saying, listen, people, time to look around. So when your heart is troubled and when your soul is hurting, know I am the answer to your hurts. And when it is the darkest, and when it shines the brightest, know that I am the living Word. It's that moment of total revelation that we have hope, even in the midst of the most sorry, awful times. So, sisters and brothers, what am I going to do? I'm going to pray. What am I going to do? I'm going to sing. What am I going to do? Well, I'm not going to dance, but I'll let some of y'all dance. What am I going to do? I'm going to have hope, because hope is what I cling to. Jesus said, if we can find this truth, we can also know the kingdom. For the Son of Man is coming in the glory of His Father's angels, and then He will reward each person according to what he has done. And what that means is that when we stand up there, we won't be able to hand things to Jesus and buy our way into a kingdom. All we can do is just be empty-handed, but a heart full of love and grace. And he says, I tell you the truth, some who are standing here will not taste death before they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom. I don't know if it's age, you know. I told the Bible study the other day, now that I'm 55, I'm starting to feel my age, and I'm starting to moan and groan and have noises, you know, when you get older, you get that. I don't know if it's my age where I'm starting to just feel the weight, But it just seems like chicken doesn't have the taste it used to. It just seems like biscuits aren't as filling as they used to be. And Lord have mercy, it seems like butter beans are not as good as they used to be. I don't know what's going on with that. Maybe I need a renewal. Maybe I need to be renewed. Maybe I'm letting the things of the earth have too much sway over me. Maybe I'm looking at the conflicts and the storms and the sorrows and the sadness and the shadows instead of looking towards the light. It could be that I'm lost to things of men instead of looking for things of God. And what I see in the things of God is not only will Texas rebuild, it will become a stronger state, a stronger people. Not only will their families gain back the promise they have, but they'll build better and they'll find a place and they'll know the love. Can there be hope is my question. Or are we going to live underneath the fear of a nuclear hydrogen bomb? Are we going to live underneath the fear of a massive storm in the ocean? Are we going to live underneath fear of a rock hurtling through space? Are we going to be a people who somehow succumb to the darkness and the shadows? And instead, God calls us to be a people of the light, a people of the truth, a people who know it's going to be okay. See, I have confidence that if God be with us, who can be against us? I have confidence that love always wins. I have confidence no matter the troubles we face, we shall overcome. And I don't care it's the fourth quarter. I don't care that we're down 40 to nothing. I don't care that South Johnson's beating us bad and I'm looking over across the line and they're laughing and having a good time while I'm down on that line being beat on. I don't care about that. I'm talking about a real instance when Harnett Central got whooped by South Johnson my senior year. All I know is that I lined up and everyone I hit that I was supposed to hit, and I played till the clock ran out. And even though the score did not get better, there's no good part to this story. Understand, they beat us even worse the second half. Sort of like Carolina yesterday in state and a few other schools. But the good news is my mother and my father were in the stands. My mother told me later that night when I got back home from school, she said, Jerome, I want you to know that some of the fans, they got a little rowdy and they were bad talking your school. And I said, they were. She said, don't worry, I fussed them out. And I said, good. See, I may have lost, but my mama won. We may not make it. You face that moment sometimes in life. You wonder, I'm not going to make it. Going to seminary. It was a foggy morning. I was half asleep driving. I forgot the stop sign was there. Couldn't see very far ahead of me, and right when I saw the stop sign, I was on top of it, and I locked the brakes on the car. And I remember there was that moment I said, Lord, I'm not going to make it. And the car started spinning, and it spun three times like that. And it came right up to the embankment and stopped a few inches from it. And I was clipping along pretty good going to school, at least 60. And I just had to stop. And I said, Lord, how did you do that? And he didn't answer me. But he made sure I understood. My God is able. He saves us from the wrath of the storms. So sisters and brothers, this morning I invite you to come to the Lord's table. And no matter what the trouble is in your life, no matter what the burden you carry, you can know your God is able, that he cares, and he wants you to be a part of his eternal kingdom in every way. He loves you, and he calls you to be his own. If you'll turn to page 15. Invite those that are helping this morning to come forward. Service of Word and Table 3.